Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hour number two, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this Monday, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Hope everybody is hanging in there, enjoying the incredible weather that is outside. At some point, get out, walk the dog, walk the kids, walk yourself, do whatever you need to do to get some fresh air, and do that here today. We're going to have great weather the next 3 days, and then the temperatures will come back to earth. I've tweeted out a little brain teaser. You know, it's time sometimes we don't want to turn to mush, Darian, right, while we're being quarantined. Let's keep everything fresh. Let's keep everything active. And I got to be honest, on my end, Willie, I've gotten a lot of right answers, including Nash. Nash nailed it. In fact, ended
Nash
with
nailed it? Good for him.
Chicken, or winner, chicken dinner is how he ended it. He gave the correct answer and said winner, chicken dinner. So Nash was very confident with his answer. I haven't even responded to anybody. I just wanted to have answers roll in. Now, there's been a ton of misses, but there's been a lot of people get it right. But I just wanted to throw out there that Nash is one of them that has nailed it. So have you you've put it out on your end as well?
Yeah, I quote tweeted yours and put it out to my followers as well. I, by my count, have two correct answers and probably 10 wrong answers. And one of the guys that got it right, so you gave Nash some props, is longtime media presence in Nashville, Aaron Solomon, formerly of Channel 4. You know, it worked for our station for a while too. But Aaron, salute to you. Darren, do you have those Cooker gift cards? I'm sure Aaron can enjoy a meal at the Cooker.
I've got them. I've got a stack right over here. I'm ready to start doling them out. So yeah, whoever wins, Nash is going to get one. Aaron Solomon is going to get one. Whoever is correctly guessed is going to get a $50 gift card to the Cooker. So yeah, I've got a big stack here in my room. So we're ready to go. By the way, I've had over 80 responses. So I've got some winners. I've got some gift cards to give out. All right, let's bring in Teron Davenport. Let's find out what TD has been up to these days. Teron, how you doing?
Hey, everything is just fine. How about you guys?
Everything is basically the same as you and everybody else, right? We're just all just trying to get through this, man. It's keep our sanity. We're going to find out how strong our families are, right? That's what we're all going to find out through all this.
Yeah, I mean, it could be worse, you know. I'm always a no bad day subscriber, so
Yep. Hey,
man, I won when I woke up this morning, so I'm good.
Nice. That's the right attitude. Did you hear our conversation with Jeff Fisher? That was kind of his message as well. Get rid of the negativity. Let's be positive.
Yeah, no, I heard his whole interview. It was great, you know, and his message is 100% right, and I think that's the only way you're going to get through this. If you dwell on all the negatives and, you know, say, oh, man, it could be so much better, then you're going to not be able to appreciate what it is that you do have. And, I mean, it sounds cliche, but for me, you know, it's all about looking at the positive part of it and just, you know, keeping a glass half full type of perspective. It's obviously something that no one wants to go through, but it is what it is. So let's just keep chopping wood and power through it.
Marquise, do we have Jeff's comments on Derrick Henry ready to go? Let's play that for everybody, maybe from people just tuning in right now that did not hear Jeff Fisher in the last hour. Let's hear, and then, Teron, we'll pick your brain on Derrick Henry moving forward. Here's Jeff Fisher.
I think it's pretty simple. You pay him, you know. I mean, you pay him what's fair, and you get him in there, and, you know, whatever you want to do. I mean, I was really lucky to have Floyd there with me because my philosophy as a head coach was that I wasn't going to get in the negotiation. Basically, it ended up being, you know, we would talk, yes, you really want him back? Yeah, I really want him back. Man, okay, we'll do what we can to get him back. And, you know, he would usually get it worked out. But from a coach's perspective, you know, it's not on either side of the spectrum. It doesn't make sense to ask a guy to take a pay cut or get a guy to do a deal, and then you come back as a head coach and you want to ask him to play hard for you. So I stayed out of those. But Floyd, for the most part, got those things done. But back to your question, I mean, this guy, he turned this team. And, you know, I watched it closely this year. I watched the playoffs. When all this other stuff was going on out there and, you know, with Baltimore with this new offense and this and that, and they got back to freaking football basics, which was defense and run the football and go figure. You find a quarterback and all good things start to happen. Well, Derek was the guy. But I will, if I have any words of advice for them, would make sure you got a number two also, because it's hard to do that year after year. We had a rare guy in Eddie to do it for so long. But Derek's just coming of age. And I think and the people that I've talked to about Derek, you know, I talked to Taylor, LaJuan a little bit about him, and they love him, and he's all about work. And so I would find a way to get him done. And, you know, and then I would watch his miles, change his tires, and watch the miles you put on him, because he can win a lot of games for you.
There you go, Jeff Fisher on Derrick Henry. Certainly he had a front row seat to Eddie George and a lot of other good running backs while he was the head coach. So what do you make of that? What do you think is the right approach? Because it is interesting, because in these times there's not a ton to talk about. Most of the conversation is about the NFL because there is news, and I saw a lot of national people weighing in on Derrick Henry about giving him a big contract or not, and it seems like it was a house divided. What do you think?
Yeah, I think what Coach Fisher is saying is 100% right. And I think really what you have to understand is what this guy means to the offense. And Eddie George, your interview that you guys had with him really spoke to that. You know, he is the focal point of the offense. So it is right to pay him. I mean, you're asking this guy to touch the ball more than anyone outside of the quarterback. So rightfully so, he should be paid. And again, this offense revolves around the running game. And obviously, you know, things got turned up a little bit when Tannehill took over, but let's not forget what Derrick Henry did at the end of the 2018 season. Carrying this team is nothing new for him, so you pay him. And I firmly believe that when you're looking at his contract, you don't look at it from a, hey, he's a running back perspective. You look at it from, hey, this is a catalyst perspective. You look at it from, oh, this is a playmaker perspective. You have no player on your team outside of possibly A.J. Brown as explosive as Derrick Henry. So he should be paid accordingly, and that's really the bottom line. I do like what Coach Fisher also said about finding that balance, right, and being able to have that number two, because you always have to have that insurance policy. And I think that's where they could do that in the draft. And that allows them to have a higher number on Derrick Henry, but still have a sufficient guy to complement him, whether it's Nashville's own Keyshawn Vaughn or Eno Benjamin. You know, it could be a lot of guys. You don't have to do that in the first round, the second round, or the third. You could still do it and have a solid player come in and offset the amount of money you're going to put into Derrick Henry.
We talk so much about this upcoming offseason and how critical it was going to be. As we sit here today on, what is today, April 6th? Because today would be the national championship game. Yeah, April 6th. So still a little bit of time to go before the draft, I guess 3 weeks or so. How would you grade John Robinson with the work and the news that we know of as of sitting here today? How do you think this offseason has been for the Titans and John Robinson?
Well, I'm going to go with the good old incomplete. I don't think that it's something that where they covered all the bases. I understand what they did with Vic Beasley, and I think that was a really good move, and hoping that they could find a guy that has a lot of upside and tap into that upside. I just the main stickler for me is that Jarrell Casey deal. And I understand that you do have to figure out when it's time to move on and when it's time to cut ties with a guy that obviously has extensive emotional ties and also just production ties to the organization. I get that, but I really felt like that was going to lead into another move, and it hasn't. So for that reason, I say it's incomplete. I think what they've done in free agency as far as the offense is concerned has been great, but there's still a big part of it left, and that's the draft. And I think that's where they're going to really hit and really be able to complete what it is. So depending on what they do in the draft, I think it could go from incomplete to a B.
I'm not. I don't expect you to know the answer to this, but just, you know, I know you talk to people. Do you think Clowney and his let me just say Clowney. Do you think Jadeveon Clowney knows where he wants to play next? Do you think he has a favorite team or coach staff?
I think he has a favorite two teams.
You think he has a favorite two teams, okay?
Yeah, I think he has two favorite teams. I mean, it really does come down to Seattle, right, and just where they use him, how he fits their style of play, right? Their tempo of play. I think he's definitely a match there. But then you also have to look at with the Titans and just what he's done with Mike Vrabel calling the shots. I mean, they were that 2017 year. I mean, they had that was Clowney's best season. You know, so you have to look at that. But as far as the money is concerned, I will say this. No one is just going to go around announcing that they're going to take a discount, right? So I don't think that it's breaking news that he could settle for $17-18 million. I think it kind of goes without saying because obviously the market is continuing to evolve, right? And move on from the starting point where all the big time contracts are usually worked out. So I think he has two teams, and that's about it.
Because I bring that up, Teron, for obvious reasons. If Seattle and Tennessee are just sitting there waiting for his price tag to go down, right? So they're just waiting for the market to drop, okay? And so let's just say it drops to where they're comfortable, like with conversations with his agent. And they both want to lock him in. They're both like, okay, we're in. We're in on this price. So it's like buying stock. Okay, we're in. So then it's going to eventually come down to if these two teams are interested and like, okay, now we're comfortable, we're in, he's got to make a choice. And so I'm curious to think where you, just in your mind, where you think he would be leaning. If it was Tennessee and Seattle and it was just basically he was going to go wherever he chose to go, money is not – they're both wanting the same thing. They both have the same to offer. Where do you think he goes?
I think in the end it's Seattle, and I just think it's that because he already knows what is going on there. He already knows that organization. So I would say Seattle, and I know Titans fans are not going to be happy with that, but I'd rather tell you what I think than what you want to hear.
It's your opinion. That's why we're asking you. That's interesting. Okay, yeah. We'll come back. Do you have time to hang through?
Yeah, we could go. Hopefully the guy out front mowing the lawn has moved on so I could go back and enjoy some fresh air.
Okay, all right. More with Ron Davenport on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We're back here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're here for you, all from our separate homes, doing the show, interacting with all of you. We've got some great things going on Twitter. And I'm laughing because we've had some great responses to Darren's brain teaser, which he got us going separately over the weekend. And I've been sending them along to some different groups of friends of mine. So we're doing this now on Twitter. Just go to 102.5 The Game on Twitter. You check out Darren's brain teaser, and we'll reveal the answer here before too long. And also, don't forget to vote on the second round, which begins today. Two of the regions in the second round of Nashville's best athlete of the last 30 years. Teron Davenport is joining us right now. We're talking Titans. So, Teron, you've hit on a couple of different things heading into the draft that are still sort of out there to be decided by the Titans. What is your thought right now on the backup quarterback situation?
I think it's Logan Woodside, and that's who it should be, honestly. I know that there are some questions about him, but if you listen to what John Robinson said, what Mike Vrabel said, you know, as far as his preparation. And if you look at him in the preseason last year, I mean, he was pretty impressive, to be honest with you. So I think he's that type of gritty guy that could come in and hold things down for a couple of games if need be. And I think when you look at the total roster, that backup QB position is not a place where you could put a lot of money in, so you can't go out and get one of the higher-end backup guys. So I think what they got in Logan Woodside, I think that's probably the way that they should go, and I think that's the way they will go.
So let's just paint the hypothetical here that Ryan Tannehill has to miss a three-game stretch whenever the season is played. Knock on wood. Let's assume for a moment that there is a season the way we envision it, hope that it will be. Is Woodside trustworthy enough for a team that's trying to win right now to get them through those two or three games? Are they that confident in him?
I think they are. And I think in addition to being confident in him, I think they're confident in the offense itself. Let's not forget, this is a team that beat the Houston Texans with Blaine Gabbert as their starting quarterback, right? Now, obviously, Kevin Byard had the touchdown pass, but what I am saying is I feel that they believe they could develop a game plan that can win with Logan Woodside as the quarterback. And here's the thing. How much of the game that the Titans play, how much of that is predicated upon the quarterback making plays to win them the game? It isn't really that way. So the way that they're set up, I think they can win with Logan Woodside. Now, if they don't have Derrick Henry in the lineup, and don't have Tannehill, yeah, they're in big-time trouble, but I think they can win.
All right, one more from me, and then I'll pass it along to Chase. Give me your deepest three positions, Teron, of players in this draft. Forget about what round, but just deepest pool of talent. And maybe then we can match up the priorities and the needs that the Titans have. But give me your three top positions.
I want to say wide receiver, running back, and cornerback. But offensive line, specifically tackle, is very close.
Teron Davenport is with us, ESPN Titans NFL Nation reporter. Something that Jeff Fisher brought up that I haven't really thought about until he said it. We all know that the draft evaluation process is different this year because you're having to do everything remotely. You can't bring guys in for visits, can't go to pro days, and all of that. You have to rely on, you know, talking to those guys remotely. So they're going to have the draft as planned remotely from you know, GMs and scouts and everybody being at home. But he brought up signing the undrafted free agents and what that process is going to be like. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you've thought about as well, of how different that's going to be as teams try and sift through who's left and decide, okay, I want this guy on my team?
Yeah, definitely. I was talking with a friend of mine who, this is his first year as an agent, and he has some guys that I know the Titans are interested in, among other teams, right there at that anywhere sixth round to undrafted free agent status. And it's going to be tough, man, because a lot of these guys are the ones who, let's say they went to Oklahoma to watch Jalen Hurts work out, and one of the receivers, well, here, Parnell Motley is an excellent example. Now, if you put on film of him against LSU, you'll see him doing a very good job against Ja'Marr Chase. But at the same time, if you don't go to that pro day and see him and get to put your hands on him and talk to him, you may be missing out on an opportunity to understand that, hey, you know what? This guy has good film, but, man, he's great to talk to. And I think that's the main thing that you're losing out on. A lot of these guys who are undrafted free agents, you know, they're the ones who are overlooked throughout the year. So not having that pro day and not being able to put that 4-4-6 as a cornerback on the measurables to show them that, I think it's going to hurt. But it's going to be a scramble. That's really the bottom line. It's going to be a big-time scramble. And I think, again, this goes back to where an organization that relies on film more than measurables is going to do well. And that's why I think the Titans are going to do well in this draft.
Now, I know you've talked to a lot of prospects on talking with TD, including Jalen Hurts. You were able to speak with him last week. In some of those conversations, has your perception changed at all, whether it be you've learned more about him, so you like them even more, or has it changed, you know, even from the negative sense? What have you learned in talking to some of these guys?
Well, you could get a feel for – it's a little bit more difficult when you're doing it on the phone, but you could get a feel for their passion for the game. You could get a feel for that level of dog in them. You know, one of the things I always like to do when I'm talking to track guys, you know, guys that ran track, I kind of push that button. Tell me why you're a football player that happens to be fast and not a track guy playing football. Because there are differences. Because if you say a guy is a track guy playing football, you're more or less calling him soft. So you could kind of see how a guy responds to that. You could see how they react to different things they say. And that helps you get an understanding of, you know, what degree of dog they have in them. You know, that helps you get an understanding, okay, you know what? If stuff hits the fan, I feel like this is a guy that's going to scrap and fight. But you can't get that as much over the phone as you can when you're talking in person. And that's one of the things I got from Marlon Davidson. You know, when I got to talk to him at the combine, I and also at the Senior Bowl, I came right saying to myself, like, yo, this guy is, yeah, I would like to have him on my team if it was up to me, you know. So I think those are the type of things that you gather. And you could also gather, especially like for quarterbacks, you know, you could gather the way that they could hold a room, right, and hold control of the room and inject a positive vibe to other guys. And that's something that I got from Jalen Hurts, Jordan Love, you know, and that's something that kind of made me take a step back when looking at a guy like a Justin Herbert. So there are things that you could gather.
Who's on tap for this week?
You know, we're 90% in there with Jordan Love. So I'm getting my other quarterback, you know, so definitely looking forward to that.
Oh, boy. Toronto will be all smiles for that interview.
Oh, yeah. All smiles. No doubt about it. I mean, he's an undervalued guy, so I think he's really good. We're working on – we have Javon Guidry, the DB from Utah, who ran a 4.29 at the combine, and then we're working on a local guy in Van Jefferson. So we're looking at a pretty good show.
Wow, very nice. So what did you make of Jalen Hurts? What stood out to you in your interview?
What stood out to me was just how he is totally unbothered by – some of the false narratives out there about him or some of the critiques about him. I thought that was really interesting because I will say I myself was bothered, you know, with some of the things that I put out there and some of the responses to it. It just made me like, you know, people really purposely want to overlook different things. So the fact that he was just like, hey, you know what? Their opinions don't matter and he's going to control what he can control. I said, man, this guy's a New England Patriot, and that's without a doubt.
Hmm, interesting. All right, sitting here today, what are you thinking? We've got a little bit of time. I'll probably ask you this every week just to see how much it changes or if it changes. The position you believe the Titans select with their first-round pick is what?
Ooh, I'm going to go with cornerback. I think Jeff Gladney is going to be there, and I think he's the pick. I could outside chance see them taking a guy like Noah Igbinoghene too. But obviously that's really going to depend on what happens with Logan Ryan. But I firmly believe that if Logan Ryan is not back, Gladney, if he's on the board, I think he's their pick because he could come in and play that nickel spot. Not as well as Logan Ryan, you know, but he could still come in and give them serviceable, you know, solid play at the nickel.
Well, we know if you're right, that'll spell out the future of Logan Ryan here at least, right? We'll know where that's going if they draft a cornerback in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt, I think it'll spell out. But I think they draft a cornerback in the first round if Logan Ryan isn't there, you know, or if it's a one-year deal.
Hmm. Okay. Interesting. Hey, you and the family be safe. Always good to talk to you. Thanks for doing this. We'll be listening to your podcast, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate it. Chase, good job on the show, 9 to 10, man. I appreciate that.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. You guys take care.
Teron Davenport, Talking with TD, is his podcast. Check it out. usually gets that out late on Wednesdays. He continues to interview these guys before the draft. We'll come back. Don't forget, This Is What I Know at 11:45 before we get out here in hour number two, and we head east to kick off the third hour. We have our weekly chat with Vince Ferrara. More of Darren Donick and Chase next. What is our reflection of what the Titans will do in this upcoming draft, which will take place at the end of the month? And that'll certainly give us something to talk about. We will certainly keep getting a little bit more and more draft heavy on this show, as really that's the only thing that's going on for the most part in the sports world. I mean, other than announcements like the Masters being pushed to November, which right now, when you see the way some of these things are getting pushed, September, October, and November could be really, really, really busy sports months if indeed some of this returns. We have put out on Twitter a little brain teaser, trying to keep you fresh. We don't want you turning to mush. Mush is no good. Mush brain is no good. We want to keep things active, keep you thinking, right? Stay sharp. And right now, we've tweeted out a brain teaser that a lot of you are responding to. And I know you've kind of opened it up on your end as well, Willie, and it getting the broadcast crew involved. What are you seeing over on your side?
Well, first of all, I got to give you all kinds of credit for this, Darren, because I see the responses. You have had a ton of people. And I don't know if people are just following you that just happen to be math whizzes, or they just really want a gift card to the cooker. I feel like you offered a prize. I didn't really as much. I kind of de-emphasized the fact that you put out a potential prize. But you have a ton of responses, and you have a certain percentage that got it right. But the majority have gotten it wrong. I've tweeted it out to my people, and I've now got the broadcast crew for the Predators out there. I relayed some of these that you sent over the weekend to them as well. So they've been having some fun with it. And so if you take a look at what's happening here, we have not put the answer out on Twitter, right? We have basically hinted who got it right on the air.
I said when we kind of closed up shop, I would go back and like the correct answers, but I haven't done anything yet. I mean, like I said, I am probably, I'm over 100 responses. So I don't know. I think what you threw out there without being specific with analytics, I think there's been a good number of correct answers on my end. What would you say, just us guessing from what we've seen, probably 25% of the 100
or more? Yeah, I was
going
to say 25 to 35%, so somewhere in there.
Have been correct.
And then, so now we have C-Mace, who has gone out and showed his math on the Twitter. I mean, that's a bold step, right, to show the work. Right, not just throw out a number, and so I have asked if this is correct. Now, remember, we have hinted on the air who got it right, and so we'll see if we get a response from that individual. But I've even seen some math teachers that follow the show, Darren, and not all of them got it right.
Well, I will say
there's some tricks in there.
There is, and there's something that I can't bring up. We'll discuss later on. That is
right, and this is and honestly, Darren, the one you sent earlier this morning that you have not gone public with, that you just sent to us.
I'm saving that one.
That
we're going to do one a day.
Had you not sent that to us this morning, I would not have gotten the correct answer on the one that you did put out, because this is a little easier version of that one. Fair, you know what I'm saying?
I will give
and
a
people,
hint.
It'll make sense to people.
I will give a hint. Okay, the big sticking point in all this, and I'm just going to go on now that we're almost 2 hours into this. There's a couple of tricks to this, obviously, but the one that gets a lot of people, and by the way, it's a little bit of a debate probably in the teacher world, is the order of operations, right? And I'll just leave it at that.
The order of operations is huge, and I had to hearken back to my days when I took a math class, and I think I got it right. I can remember my 10th grade Algebra 2 teacher singing this to us, and he did it in a very good way that has stuck in my mind ever since, Mr. Sanders. And thank you, Mr. Sanders, because that helped me get this one right.
but
you know,
fun.
I'm just sitting here listening
the first,
to this.
By the way, Darren, that's the first one. That is the first one I got right. Right, Darren? The other three or four that you've sent out there, I have not gotten right on the first go.
Yes. And did you – when you sent that to me, that you had never – you had not guessed. So I wasn't sure if you had seen it and you were asking if because you'd seen some of those answers or if that was your answer from the get-go. I didn't know. You didn't tell me. Because right now you've been nailing the second guess. But this one, you nailed the first one.
I did.
And if you remember,
I
said
one I still
this
have
is
not
the
gotten.
Easier one.
There's one this I still haven't gotten.
I would say of the four, this is probably the easiest of the four. Would you
yes,
agree?
Because I got it on the first one. That makes it the easiest for sure.
I guess if you look at it that way, yes.
I'm just listening to this. I'm a broadcasting major. Math, definitely not my strong point. I've tried to solve some of these that you've sent, Darren, and I just my head starts hurting, and I just bang it against the wall. So,
but you haven't even garnered a guess. Like we don't even know where your head is at. Like
I've
you
given
haven't
you
even
some guesses. Not maybe not
you?
The last one you sent, but
yeah. Have you guessed?
I did the ones over the weekend.
To go back and look, I don't remember you even weighing in.
Yeah, I did a couple times. I'm not good at these things. We had math problems similar to this in school, and this is why I got credit for showing my work because I would get them all wrong because my mind doesn't work this way. I'm not a math whiz at all. Any of my old math teachers that might be listening, they're going, "Yep, he's right. He's not good at this stuff." So. I've thought about it and tried, but I know I'm going to give an answer that's completely way, 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 way wrong.
I wonder what's the intrigue? Because if we're getting so many responses, is it just boredom or do you think it's people really would like, they know once we get past this, they've got a $50 gift card to the cooker if they get it right. What do you think it is?
I'm thinking it's more boredom.
Yeah, you think?
I mean, look, the cooker. Great spot, but I kind of have a feeling it's more boredom than anything.
What do you think, Willie?
Oh, I think some people do think they're going to win a gift card, which I guess they will win a gift card to the cooker. Now, making good on that, that's going to be on them to find that out. I mean, you did give our one-time producer a gift card.
Yeah, well, I've done it to several people before, uh-huh. I have.
So you made good on your promise to give him a gift card, but the problem was taking the gift card and then getting the goods.
And I'm surprised he's not weighed in on this. Maybe he's been duped before and he's decided not to participate. I have not seen an answer from Dave.
He hasn't weighed. He has not. I think he's wised up to your ways.
He has not weighed in, but this is fun. It's just fun to try these things, and like I said, keeps you on your toes in these times, right? I mean,
keeps you thinking.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's for sure.
I mean, that's what we have to do. So what do you guys make of the Masters right now? They've canceled the British Open, so it does not look like because of it was going to get played over in London. It doesn't. They're not postponing it. They're not trying to find another date. They are just flat out canceling that. But what do you make of the Masters being pushed to November?
November is an interesting month to target because I think, to be honest, and wouldn't you guys agree that you could almost target any date, but you can't be sure that any target you put out there will happen, right? You have to have contingency plans, and it's a hopeful date when you get down to it. But I would say, after talking to Brant Snedeker last week about golf in general, and Jeff Fisher just talked about the dynamic, golf and fishing, and there are certain activities you can do outside where you are separated enough to where you can maintain the social distancing and execute, you can execute your game with no fans at least. But then there's the whole thing about, is November a target to have the gallery there? I don't know what that would be. But I do think it's a little easier in golf for the logistics than some of these other sports that we've been talking about and what they're trying to do as a contingency plan.
So here's the full schedule that the PGA has put out there. And again, this is all subject to change, but the PGA Championship would now be August 6th through 9th at TPC Harding Park. Mm-hmm. The US Open would be September 17th through 20th at Wingfoot. The Ryder Cup would be the September 25th through the 27th at Whistling Straits. And then, as you mentioned, Darren, the Masters, November 12th through 15th at Augusta National. So the thing that stands out to me with the Open Championship being canceled, you're not traveling outside the country. And that's essentially what I guess they're looking for. Now, the Ryder Cup, you're going to have, you know, a little more travel for the international guys. But I'm curious about the fans. I saw that they would come back with Memorial and wouldn't have fans, and that would probably be late May as they approach June. But by August, I mean, I guess it's feasible to think that you could have fans at the PGA, right? I mean, I don't think we know. I think we're not going to know until we get there, but I think that the idea would be, especially with President Trump saying that his hope, he said this over the weekend, is that the NFL season would start on time and, you know, they could, that with fans and everything would be kind of considered normal. But I just don't think we're going to know until we actually get to that point.
I think until we get the vaccine, I think it's going to be incredibly difficult to have people in the stands, or at least they're going to have to practice. Like, I don't know if you guys got out this weekend, but it's not like I toured all the stores, but most of the stores that I was in over the weekend, they had basically 6-foot markers. Like, when you're standing in line, and most of them are only, like, I know Home Depot and others, there's a line. Like, they're only letting in a certain amount of people per square foot of the store. And so there's actually a line, and it's 6 feet apart. I know checking out at Target over the weekend, there were stickers when you stand there, self-checkout or anything, you're all standing at least 6 feet apart in line. So I think that's going to be the norm. That is going to be 2020. I just think that's what it's going to be. Now, how does that work in an arena or a stadium? I don't know. Do they have to sell tickets with spacing, right? Do you need two seats? Every third or fourth seat, do you need two seats? I don't know how this is going to work. I don't even know if that's even feasible or possible. But it is stuff that's being discussed. There's no doubt about it.
And there's a lot to discuss. You know, things that you don't think about. You know, the first 5 minutes of the meeting, you say, "Wow, this can be done," and then you start troubleshooting, and you come up with all these layers of things that you have to be aware of to be able to actually pull it off. I think that's what a lot of the leagues are finding out worldwide, right? We're not just talking about the leagues that we follow here in our country and in North America, but, I mean, this is going on in Japan. This is going on in China. This is going on in the English Premier League in soccer. You know, everybody's trying to figure out, you know, when we get up and running, what can we do? Or in the meantime, what can we do to try to be safe and pull this off? As you were calling it, Darren, I think correctly, the balance, right? The health has to come first. And then as we move forward and we find out more data and we get more people tested and we see where the curve goes, then you ask what can be done and what can be done safe.
Right, because as I said earlier, I mean, you can't sink a country economically. You know, we all want to be safe and all do the right thing, but we also have to come up with some type of solution to make sure that our economy just doesn't, you know, end up like the Titanic in the bottom of the ocean, right? I mean, we just can't do that. I mean, how long would it take us to crawl out of that? I mean, and then we're not talking about 2020, and then we're talking about what is the lasting effect of that. I mean, you can't shut down the country for the remainder of 2020, right? We have to come up with solutions, whether it's, you know, it's mask, it's 6 feet, it's, you know, letting people in it. We're going to have to do things differently until they come up with a vaccine, whenever that is. Spring of 2021, I don't know when that date is. None of us know. But we will have to do things differently. There's no doubt about it. Even when we kind of start returning back, we're going to have to do things differently, period, until we get past this. And who knows? Maybe we'll do things differently because of this moving forward, right? I mean, I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I think that's something to consider.
Right? That could happen. By the way, my This Is What I Know has just happened. I've changed it, and I'm going to come back and end the hour with mine because, we've got a little bit of a war going on here on Twitter. Nash is lashing out. He's using his fang fingers, and he is lashing out. So we are going to come back with Tuwik to end hour number two of Darren Donick and Chase. That's next. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, tell us what you know. 615-737-1025. 737-1025. You heard Marquise play Smashing Pumpkins this hour. That is the prize, a pair of tickets to see Smashing Pumpkins at the Ryman Auditorium. That'll be on Friday night, October 9th. Really good prize for Tuwik. And it's easy. You just tell us what you know. I mean, how hard is that? Come on. It's open-ended. That's an open canvas. Take it however you want. 615-737-1025. Guys, I hinted that I have my This Is What I Know. I've switched it because, tell you what, Nash has lashed out. He has lashed out, and he has said, at Nash00, if you're not following Nash on Twitter, he's a great follow. You should. By the way, Nash has got over 54,000 followers. He has said, I have responded to DMAC with the correct answer about 40 minutes before Chris Mason, CMace30 on Twitter. I'm pretty sure he looked off my paper for the answer. And then he's got a GIF of Cheater, Cheater, Pumpkin Eater. Nash is accusing CMace of cheating off his work.
Well, Nash did not show his work, I don't believe, even though we did admit early in the show.
We did.
Because Nash is right about one thing. He got the correct answer right away.
I mean, I've had probably 130 responses to this point, and Nash was one of the first ones to have a correct answer.
And so it's interesting that, you know, people may have seen that, and they didn't necessarily believe Nash. They were like, well, Nash got this answer, but I got to come up with my own answer. So I don't know that Mace copied off of Nash. Mace did arrive at the same answer Nash did, so they're both right. I'm going to try to be the mediator here because I don't want Nash and Mace getting any bad blood. You know, we don't want that.
Did you say Nash did not show his work? Is that what you said?
Did he?
Actually,
Nash did.
Nash showed his work.
What did he put?
It was
over
an hour ago. Well, I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell the listeners that haven't.
I'm going to check this.
He's showing his work.
You're right. He did show his work. I will.
And by the way, how
that.
Clever is he?
But Mace had some very detailed. You know, he put eggs down and he put roosters and chickens and everything in there. Nash, I will agree. Nash has the exact math formula.
Willie, I'm not taking a side. I'm just the, you know, middleman here. I'm just the messenger.
No, we all want to keep
reading the tweet. Yeah. I'm just reading the tweet, but right now there's some unrest on that side of things. Nash has dug in with his claws, and he has accused CMace of kind of looking off his work.
And look, you know, cats are temperamental. You know, you catch them at the wrong time. I mean, you know, Willie, with Stanley, I mean, you know, they're going to knock over the vases and –
Well, we've watched Tiger King, so we know.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, did you know they're coming out with another episode on Netflix?
What?
Yep. Really?
Another episode. Yes. There's going to be an eighth.
Oh.
Really?
This is big.
Yep.
I've never seen that before. Just one extra episode? A bonus episode?
Yeah, it's kind of a bonus episode. Mm-hmm.
Is it like outtakes and stuff they didn't show from before? Is it
I don't know. I just saw it over
the
story. Weekend. It's coming out pretty soon. I need to go back and look. I was reading that over the weekend.
Well, that'll be fun.
Ooh,
I will definitely be tuning in for that.
By the way, how clever is Nash to say winner, winner, chicken dinner with, you know, the brain teaser?
That's pretty good.
Right? He's a clever man. He's a clever, clever kitty. Okay. What do you guys got?
This is what I know. Okay,
I'll do a real quick one. Mine is not cynical or anything. It's very simple. But in light of what Coach Jeff Fisher said earlier, just pushing out the negative and trying to find the positive. I will say this. This is what I know. I have connected and reconnected with a lot of people and had conversations with even on the phone, if not just simply texting and interacting with people on the social media channels. But I have reconnected with a lot of friends that I have not connected with a whole lot because life gets moving so fast and we don't have as much time. So that is a big plus that I have found among several. I think if we look, we can find them, right? But that's one. I've reconnected with a lot of friends.
Okay, very good.
This is what I know. I was skeptical that WWE was going to be able to pull off WrestleMania. They've taped it over the last few weeks. They had limited personnel. I know ESPN has done a lot of coverage. They had a lot of the superstars and officials on earlier today to talk about it. But what I know is it was a success. I enjoyed it. I watched it both nights. They had it Saturday night, Sunday night. Gronk is now a champion. He is the 24/7 champion. So Gronk goes into his first WrestleMania and wins a championship. But I was entertained considering the circumstances, and so I know there were people that were kind of feeling like me and weren't sure about it, weren't sure if they were going to watch, but I enjoyed it. So that's what I know.
Would you admit it if you didn't?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, I was fully prepared to come on and say I was right. It was an absolute disaster. They shouldn't have done it. But they pulled it off. They got creative. They got outside the box. They had two matches that essentially ended both nights, one with The Undertaker, where they did it more like a movie and not a traditional wrestling match, that they you know, went outside the ring and did special effects and things like that, and it was really cool. And so I thought that was entertaining. It's something that they can do, you know, albeit sparingly, but they could do that in the future with some of these superstars. And so they kept me hooked. I watched the whole thing both nights. I liked that each night was a little under 3 hours and not the normal 6-7 hour WrestleMania that they usually have. They covered 18 matches over two nights, but they were able to get it all in a reasonable amount of time. So thought it was well done.
Have they said at all, they addressed if somebody tests positive, how they would handle that?
Not that I have seen. I know there were some superstars that pulled out because, like, Roman Reigns, for instance, was the biggest one. You know, he's battled leukemia, so, you know, he was nervous about contracting it, so he decided to pull out and hasn't been at the Performance Center in Orlando. And Stephanie McMahon actually let off, you know, last night and said, you know, explained the process that, you know, they've taped this over several days and at different closed locations, and they've limited the personnel. So they've taken all the precautions, but no, I haven't seen, you know, how they would address it if somebody did test positive.
It is interesting, guys, as we have put out there that Nash nailed it, that I feel like ever since we've put out there, I think people are looking at Nash's work because a lot of right answers are coming in now. It's pretty amazing since we started talking about that. Just saying. I think Nash maybe start lashing out a lot of people. I think people are looking at Nash's work. Just saying.
Nash is a leader.
Nash is a leader.
I still am getting some wrong answers, though.
Oh, yeah. No, they're
gone their own way.
The best is the wrong answers that have, like, exclamation point, boom. Like, that's what's fun, is watching the people
that are really confident
about their answer that's wrong. By the way, to this discussion, the Korean League, Baseball League, I don't know if you guys have saw this. I told you Taiwan is attempting to come back in April. The Korean Baseball League is also expected to come back in April, late April this month. And they have said their plan is if any player tests positive, they shut down the league for 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's what happened in Japan. I was reading an article. They were about to start, and one of the best pitchers in the league tested positive, and so they had to shut the whole thing down. That is something that you've got to be thinking about. They were going to play with no fans and all of those things. So I know people are going to keep tinkering with this model because realistically, we know, guys, that, you know, filling up an arena or a stadium is just not in the cards for a good while. I think even longer than, you know, when we first started this process, when we first put the pause on all these seasons on that day in March. What was it, March 8th? Am I right? March 8th, March 9th. March 10th, right in there.
Well, the Thursday.
We've learned a lot, even since then.
Game. Yeah.
Right? I think at that point, people were like, well, you know, maybe in a few weeks, maybe in a month. But as far as playing in front of fans, I think we know that date is going to be pushed back a good ways. And now we're talking about football, you know, being big time in jeopardy, right? That's really in the cards. Pushing back football to the spring has been suggested now. So playing with no fans in some sort of bubble, to put to, for lack of a better term, is something I think we're going to put a lot, you know, organizations are going to put a lot of resources in to see if something is feasible. And the teams in Asia, right? You mentioned Japan, South Korea, Taiwan. They're all trying this to see if they can come up with a formula that could work. But all eyes are on it because, as you said, it just takes one or two people in a worst-case scenario to set a set of dominoes going in the wrong direction.
Jeff Burks on Twitter says, wait, the cooker? Question mark. There was one in Nashville. It closed. I was crushed. Wait a minute. There was way more than one in Nashville. I know that. There was not just one in Nashville. I think there were four.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I just remember the one on West End.
Oh, no. There was one on Murfreesboro Road. No, there. I think there were four in Nashville. Yep. Yeah, there was more than one. Definitely. Do we have Clay on there?
Clay's still there.
Okay, let's go to Clay. Clay, what do you know?
Hey, guys. If y'all would let me, I have something I wanted to touch on with Willie, him being a former baseball player, before I get to my This Is I Know thing, what I know thing. Willie, I don't know if you had heard the news, but the Whistler's brother passed away. Tony Pack passed away last Tuesday. Did you know that?
I did see that on social media, and I'll tell you what. If you've ever been to a Vanderbilt baseball game, I am sure you have seen this gentleman in the stands, one of the most loyal fans of any Vanderbilt fan. You know that, Clay. So our thoughts are with him and his family. I know that was tough news to hear.
Yes, rest in peace, Tony. Anchor down. This is what I know. I miss Corbs and the boys playing. We haven't done a lot of winning down at Vandy. So I'm just sad that the coronavirus has shut baseball season down and prevented us from trying to defend our title again in college baseball.
Well, that line is pretty long. You're not the only one standing in that line that's disappointed. There's no doubt about it. Yeah, it's been tough on a lot of people, but this is where we are today. And there's been a lot of people affected in different ways. And, yes, you know, the more important thing is the people that are actually dealing – well, we love sports and we root for sports and we want all these things to happen. Look, there are bigger problems out there right now in our country, and that is the harsh, harsh reality about it. We will come back and head east. We'll go to Knoxville. Vince Ferrara from the Sports Animal, WNML. In Knoxville, at Vince Sports on Twitter. He will join us next on Darren Donick and Chase.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No